From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. For the first time, the U.S. has crossed the 50,000 COVID mark in a single day. On Wednesday, 52,789 new cases were reported across the country. You might know that President Trump spoke publicly this morning about the latest jobs report, almost 5 million jobs added in the last month, with unemployment dropping to 11.1%. It is part of the rebound from the economic shutdown this spring related to COVID-19. But at the same time, new unemployment claims are rising. California's governor yesterday announced many indoor group activities would be closed in 19 counties, with more about to be added soon. The governor imposing the dimmer switch.
This doesn't mean restaurants shut down. It means that we're trying to take activities, many activities as we can. These mixed activities, these concentrated activities, and move them outdoors, which is a way of mitigating the spread of this virus.
However, many restaurants will be closed if they are not preparing food for pickup or takeout. So if you have a destination, especially this weekend, be sure to check it out. California flattened the COVID curve in March and April by people staying home and shutting down, by intensively hand washing and sanitizing, taking temperature checks, maybe wearing gloves and masks. But this is July. And even though cases and hospitalizations are spiking, the governor says he doesn't want to go back to that level of shelter in place. Maybe the state's economy couldn't handle it, and a number of you just wouldn't have it. So the COVID cases are jumping. 6,402 in California in the last 24 hours, 80 more deaths since yesterday. Hospitalizations and ICU admissions are up 45% to 50% in the last 14 days. And the governor overall is urging people just not to get together over the holiday. You heard Dr. Anthony Fauci warning the country this week that cases per day could double from about 50,000 now to 100,000. So I want to explore some of this. Joining me now is Dr. Brad Pollack. He's professor and chairman of the Department of Public Health Sciences and associate dean for public health sciences at the UC Davis School of Medicine. He is also chairman of the UC's Public Health COVID-19 Working Group. Dr. Pollack, I'm glad to have you back with us on Insight.
Good morning, Beth. And before we get started, I just wanted to thank you. I know this is your last broadcast, and thank you for all of the work you've done over the last 8 years and bringing incredible knowledge to the community. And we're going to miss you. So I just want to say that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I do want to know, in your view, how much coronavirus you think we have in the country and in California. When you look at the Johns Hopkins University dashboard map, it shows the United States almost totally in red.
Yeah, we have a lot of disease. The testing, which has become much more plentiful now, has revealed new cases. The most alarming thing is we're doing more testing. We may be up to 100,000 tests a day in California. The thing that's alarming is the positive test rate has jumped up to 5.6%. So we're getting more, there are more cases. And I think most of us believe that the counts that we're seeing may be a vast underrepresentation. We may have as many as 10 times more real cases in the community than we're seeing with the testing results here. So it's definitely growing, unfortunately.
So I'd like your perspective on this uptick in cases. And if you agree with everyone that it's a lot of small group gatherings and reopening, that's fine. If you can add any layer of detail to that that is maybe coming from a scientific or epidemiological perspective, please do.
Yeah, no, I think that the uptick from social gatherings is real. I mean, remember now we have a larger workforce doing contact tracing. So when we have a new case identified, we're finding out where this transmission was likely to occur. So I think we're seeing this. And certainly up here in the Sacramento area, it's been larger social gatherings that have been feeding this here. And I think that may be true in other parts of the country. And of course, the issue of seeing more and more reopening, the phase reopening, gives people a sense of security to say, yeah, things are fine. And I think that's sort of let people's guards down. And I think this started with Memorial Day weekend, and it's just continued seeing more and more of this. So I think we are at a point now where the data, the contact tracing information, is giving us a clue as to what's driving this at this point in time.
Do you share the governor's perspective that targeted shutdown is important, but we probably shouldn't go back and maybe can't go back to a full shelter in place?
Yeah, I do. I think we've learned a lot more in the last 2 or 3 months about the virus, about transmission patterns. You know, we know more now. I don't think we have to go back to a full shelter in place type of situation. I think if we can control where the new cases are coming from, which is to try to control this physical contact in confined spaces mainly, in larger social gatherings, or in a few businesses where the tendency is to have people sort of get much closer without that protection. I think if we can put measures in place to sort of reduce that down, we're not going to have to go back to a total shelter-in-place type order. Again, we're much farther along now than we were, you know, 2 months ago in terms of our understanding of what's driving this.
So what do we know that we didn't know before that's extremely compelling to you? And was it a misstep not to order mask wearing sooner?
Well, what we know now, again, is we've learned a lot from the contact tracing and trying to figure out what the transmission patterns look like. We have that now. We have a larger database for that. I think the issue with the mask, face coverings and masking, you know, there was unfortunately a situation where we had mixed signals. And remember that some of the cautions about not putting face mask requirements in early on in the epidemic were that there was a fear that people who wore face masks would feel that they have a false sense of security, could sort of violate the physical space rules and so on. And so that was what we messaged, you know, 3 months ago. It's changed. And there's emerging evidence now that masking certainly cuts down on your ability to infect somebody else. But there's even emerging evidence now that it protects you somewhat, not 100%. But there seems to be some personal protection from wearing face coverings when people go out. So we know that now. We didn't know that before. And people are looking now more succinctly and more granularly at what types of face coverings might be more effective. There's studies coming out daily now looking at different types of face masks, including cloth, types of material, and so on. So I think that's emerging, you know, on a daily basis and pushing us a little bit further forward now with that masking policy.
And of course, at the beginning of all this, there was a shortage of supplies and the priority was going to healthcare workers and those most at risk. Interestingly, the president today said that the vice president made a call yesterday to the governors and not one governor. This is what the president said. Not one governor needed anything. I want someone at the press conference today to ask that of Governor Newsom and find out if that's really the case, if California is in a place of not needing anything from the federal government at this point. But moving along from that, as for the virus itself, is it changing, Dr. Pollack? There's conversation about the virus getting weaker, that it's attenuating because it doesn't want to kill its host to get very much into the biology.
Yeah, I don't think there's really strong evidence to suggest that it's attenuating at all. In fact, this virus seems to be very stable genetically. The areas of the genome of the virus that change don't seem to be very important areas in terms of coding for important proteins that would suggest a difference in the biology of the virus. I think what's happening, of course, is there's been a shift to younger people getting infected. Again, that may be from social gatherings, but younger people are less vulnerable to the ill effects of the infection. So, in fact, the majority of these new cases are showing up in under 35-year-olds. So it's really hard to separate out the fact that different people with different baseline susceptibilities are being infected now compared to 2 or 3 months ago. So, and again, genetically, there's not strong evidence that this, unlike some other viruses, that this has gone through a huge amount of genetic change to attenuate it. And we're not seeing any sort of summer patterns either. This was pretty evident early on in the early part of this year. If you looked at New Zealand and Australia, there was no evidence like other coronaviruses that somehow or another this was going to vanish in the hot summer months. That's what's quite different about this particular virus. So we're not seeing that here.
Thank you for addressing that. I also want to ask you about herd immunity. Once millions of people have had this virus, Are we going to get to some sort of herd immunity?
Not anytime soon without a vaccine. So the issue is for herd immunity, we usually think that people have to have protective immunity on the order of some about three quarters, 60% of the population. If you look at what's going on now with the infection, we're still seeing, sort of seroprevalence rates that are probably under 10%. So it would be a long time to let this disease kind of smolder in the population naturally to build up sufficient herd immunity. When we have a vaccine, that will actually move us up way forward. And so I think the herd immunity issue right now is not really applicable until we get to a vaccine.
Okay, so what can we do to reverse the trend that we're in right now? What can we hope for, and how can we be proactive individually?
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is personal health patterns, responsibilities, and so on, taking personal responsibility. I think it's very clear that if we can keep people separated by 6 feet or more, staying out of indoor spaces where there's a likely to be more transmission. If we can do that, the physical distancing, I think we'll be able to impact what's going on with the epidemic. This is the bottom line. I know we talked early on before about testing and having massive testing and everything else. Testing is just a means of trying to identify cases and get them out of the general population. But honestly, if there was somebody infected that was in a room with you and you kept your 6 foot or more distance and you had your face mask on, everybody did, and you're not touching the contact surfaces, your likelihood of picking up the virus is very, very low. And so I think this is an issue of personal health behavior. And the other issue that, we see in public health here is that it's younger people that are obviously sort of driving it right now, and they're not taking the same level of precaution and distancing. And I think that part of that is that they don't feel personally that they're going to be vulnerable to the ill effects. But the problem, again, is that for every one of those folks that gets infected, young people, they infect 2 to 3 other folks on average. And, of course, some of the people that get infected downstream may be their grandmothers, grandfathers, older relatives, other right. vulnerable people. So it's an issue of I think, people being understanding that being infected for yourself is not perhaps the major issue, but the fact is that you're going to spread it to other people, particularly if you're asymptomatic. That's really where the danger is. So we need to have people sort of get a little smarter about what they're doing in terms of their health behaviors.
Well, you have said to me before, we cannot test our way out of this pandemic. So I appreciate you making that point. And Dr. Pollack, thank you. We just have had a wealth of experts and researchers and healthcare professionals join in this conversation. Going back to late February on this topic, you've been a key person for us. So thank you again. Stay safe, take care, and I look forward to our paths crossing again.
Thank you, Beth. And again, thank you for all your years of contribution to the community. Really appreciate that.
That is Dr. Brad Pollack, professor and chairman of the Department of Public Health Sciences and associate dean for public health sciences at the UC Davis School of Medicine. He's also chair of the UC System's Public Health COVID-19 Working Group. By the way, I mentioned this, that the governor has 19 counties on the state's watch list, but there is an indication that perhaps Yolo, Sutter, and Yuba would be added soon based on the jump in cases. And there is another press briefing by Governor Newsom at noon. You'll hear it live here on CAP Radio. Up next, I'll talk with Sacramento's mayor for one more chat about police reforms and COVID and more. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio.